hate this song. It makes me want to take my cushion, beat somebody over the head with it.
Alright. Richard Roper has just stepped into the studio, and I would ask you for your thoughts on Liam Neeson, but I'm almost afraid. I just don't get what has happened here. First of all, they canceled the red carpet, right, for the opening of this movie. It's coming out this weekend.
Cold Pursuit is the film.
There was a number of other, including an appearance on Colbert that he was supposed to do this week in advance.
Not happening.
What do you make of all this?
You know, it's an odd thing for him when he was asked by a reporter, you know, basically was asked, because in the movie Cold Pursuit, which we'll talk about in a second, he plays a father out for revenge, which is the 47th straight Liam Neeson movie in which he's either a father or a husband out for revenge, right? That's what the Liam Neeson canon has become.
Yes.
And he was asked, how do you tap into that? How do you, you know, that kind of anger? And he told the story about how 40 years ago, a friend of his was raped by an African-American man. And then he took to the streets looking for any black person, and he had basically like a club in his hand. And
right.
Never acted on it. Got help for it. Said power walking helped him get through it. None of his explanations are really helping here. You know, and it's just it's a very strange thing. I mean, obviously it's horrific.
Is weird.
But yeah, and if he had simply, first of all, if he did that, and it's horrible. Even if he thought that way, he didn't act on it. But if he had simply said, a friend of mine once suffered a brutal attack, and I was so angry I wanted to hurt someone, but I didn't. Nobody would have ever thought anything about it. And then his explanations, his attempts to explain it, and have not helped.
Right. That's true.
And I don't think that Liam Neeson is a horrible person. He doesn't have a reputation for being someone. He's not, he doesn't have a Mel Gibson-esque history, but obviously in this day and age, it's problematic to say the least. I'm getting guff from people for reviewing the movie. First of all, I wrote the movie review like last week, and I would still review it this week. Not going to not review a film because someone promoting the film said something horrible and admitted to, this racist, thought and almost action 40 years ago, not excusing it at all. So that's where we're at with that. Cold Pursuit, the film is, a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to see it now. I think if people were going to see it, they're probably going to see it. I don't know how many people are really not going to see it because of what Liam Neeson said. We'll see.
But it is a revenge fantasy film. That's what as you point out, that's what this, ever since Taken, right?
Right.
He's no longer Oscar Schindler. He's now a guy with a particular set of skills.
Exactly.
And he's going to go out and do something.
And the film itself, I'm giving it 3.5 stars, and it's actually a remake of a Swedish film that starred the great Stellan Skarsgård.
Mm-hmm.
And now the same director came to America and basically remade it, almost shot for shot, some changes, in Colorado. So Liam Neeson plays the operator of a snowplow business, and his son, who works at the local airport, is murdered. He finds out that it's from a drug kingpin, so he tries to get to the big drug kingpin by working his way through the various henchmen who work for the drug kingpin. We have a clip here. His brother, who's played by William Forsythe, who's a great character actor, who used to be in the mob, he comes to his brother for help in tracking down the kingpin.
Kyle, he got mixed up with some clown by the name of Dante, and they stole a kilo of coke from Viking.
Who's Viking?
Drug dealer. A big one. Viking's a whole different breed. He likes hurting people.
Gonna kill him, Rock.
Sure you are. What makes you think you can kill a man?
I've killed 3 of his guys.
What did you do with the bodies?
Wrapped them in chicken wire. Threw them in the gorge.
Where'd you learn that?
I read it in a crime novel.
Now, here's the thing about this movie. About 20 minutes
I thought
minutes
about that, too, outside the pub. Right? When I was looking with my cushion in my hand, I'll just wrap you up in a fence wiring, chicken wire.
Right over the gorge. And that's the thing about this film. It takes a while to realize it's essentially a comedy. It's a bloody comedy, but you're supposed to laugh at the absurdity of it all. So it's almost a takeoff on a Liam Neeson crime thriller starring Liam Neeson. One of the things they do in the film is every time someone is killed, they put their name on the screen in white against black and rest in peace in whatever religious symbol they are. So if they're Jewish or Celtic cross or the tribal Indian, and it takes a while. And then something like if 30 people get killed, 30 names go up on the screen. So don't feel bad about laughing at this. It's intended as an action comedy, almost a takeoff, even though everybody in the movie is playing it straight, which makes it really entertaining. A great cast. Friend Emmy Rossum plays a local cop who like is like, wow, we usually just have to bust kid for smoking the marijuana on the street. It's a ski resort town, and all of a sudden bodies are being strung up
piling
on
up.
The town sign and everything. So Cold Pursuit is an R-rated action comedy starring the now embattled Liam Neeson.
Does Liam Neeson come back from this?
Yes,
because at the end of the day, as Jiminy Glick would say, he didn't act on it. He's the story that he tells is a story of his own personal redemption from that of having a bad moment. Mm-hmm. We forgave 50 Cent for being a drug dealer and getting shot up, right? And the other guys who have these like gangster backgrounds that claim to have done all these bad things in their just to get street cred, we seem to have forgiven them their trespasses. And so here's a guy who didn't do anything but says that he had bad thoughts. And I get that he had bad thoughts that he should not have articulated when he's trying to sell his movie.
Yeah, the publicist on that one is probably like, oh, who's next? Is it time for the Zwecker interview? We're going to have to hold off on that.
It's weird. But, weird.
But you make an excellent point, Ro. Mark Wahlberg was not that much younger than Liam Neeson was when Neeson had this incident, when he, brutally assaulted a store owner, shouting racial expletives, caused permanent damage. I mean, he's acknowledged all this. This is not allegedly. This really happened, and he's, obviously changed his ways, and he's one of the most, lovable characters in Hollywood. Mel Gibson got invited to the Oscars a couple of years ago after all the stuff he said and did.
Right, that's true.
Much more egregious. So it's kind of this, you could even make the argument Kevin Hart, who has not done a good job either of explaining or apologizing for what he said 10 years ago, but those guys are being ostracized while guys who did much worse are back in the fold. So yes, I think Liam Neeson comes back from this.
It's just funny that he chose to go down this road. It's like the self-inflicted moment of...
Yeah.
In his own head, is he thinking, I wonder what kind of story I could come up with to talk about my past and think about revenge. Oh, yeah, there was a time that Sheila was attacked. I'll tell the story about the black bastards. And that's like in his head. And you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, and you have to figure that over the course of the last 15 years in promoting these various, vengeance, revenge, action movies, other people have said to him, how do you tap into that kind of anger? Because in real life, of course, you're not on this mad pursuit to avenge, your daughter's kidnapping or your wife's murder, or there's a terrorist on the plane. How do you tap into that? And, usually you just say it's called acting. Or, yeah, you That'd say, you right know, answer. I've suffered loss and felt, pain about it, and I kind of channel that. But very odd thing to get into specifics. And, of course, in this day and age, it doesn't just appear in the one newspaper.
Well, it's funny because there have been a lot of people who are arguing, well, the guy can have a, just because he had a bad thought and he said it, why is everybody going back? Why is everybody so mad at him? Well, this is the point that this isn't about being politically correct. The point is you don't have to bring up stuff that is racially provocative for the sake of being racially provocative, because it's just going to cause more provocation and get people defensive, and it doesn't really help you tell your story. That's the point.
Yeah.
And now I think he's learned that lesson, and he didn't have to bring it up like that. As you pointed out, he could have just said, listen, I had a friend who was attacked, and I wanted to get even with the attacker, so I was out there looking for the attacker. And
yeah. I considered a random act of violence just because I was so angry. Anything like that, and no one would have ever thought anything of it. But again, I do say, I do not believe the director and the 250 people who worked on that film and everybody else should be punished for something Liam Neeson said well after they made the movie. It's not like the people, hey, you went in the movie with Bryan Singer, who did Bohemian Rhapsody, and now look at all the allegations and charges against him. Why did you do that movie? And half of the cast is saying, oh, I didn't know about that. He's also been disinvited and unnominated for various things. So, that's a big difference between a case like this.
All right. Richard Roper's here, being brought to us by Arkadek. And let us now check in with Kim, and then we'll come back and we'll see if the Lego movie has similar kinds of it. Anybody in the Lego movie say anything that they shouldn't have said?
Any of the Lego plastic figurines have said anything controversial.
All right, we'll find out about that.
Thank goodness. First,
Kim?
Not your typical morning commute on one CTA bus.
A contractor, a Christian, a con man, even a member of his own family feels ripped off. Ben Bradley reports. WGN TV investigates tonight at 9.
All right. Richard Roper is here. We're doing some movie review and the Lego Movie 3.
Two. There have been other Lego movies, though. You're right about that. But there was like a Lego Batman movie. But this is the Lego. This is the sequel to the first Lego movie.
Okay. Lego Movie 2 Lego is Movie 2. Out. He Needs Glasses is the name of this show. Okay. So the Lego movie, the first Lego movie was kind of a surprise hit with adults, right?
Huge surprise hit. It made hundreds of millions of dollars. It seemed like the most ridiculous thing since I made fun of the Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm like, how are they going to make a movie out of that? $10 billion later. So the Lego movie, it turned out to be this really kind of cool, pop culture-y, candy-colored, fun, really smart superhero movie, but they're all Lego pieces. And one of the cool things is the animation, because it's kind of like that stop action. They don't have them moving like, they move like Lego pieces, basically, you know, kind of weirdly.
Yeah.
And their little mouths just move. They don't have any noses, just like Lego figures. So I think the kids love that because they really look like the toys. Because guess what? You can buy all the figurines that are in the movie now at stores.
Oh,
they're even Lego stores. So that, I thought the movie's terrific. Lego Movie 2 takes place 5 years after the first Lego movie. And one of the cool things I like about these Lego movies is the toys are at the mercy of the brother and sister who live upstairs, basically, in the house and are playing with them. So it has almost kind of a Toy Story thing. So occasionally you'll see the real life, as you will, you know, human figures playing the brother and sister. And the plot here is the little sister's gotten older now, so now her parents are making the brother play with her. So now they're getting all these kind of female princessy horses and everything, like wanting to play with the action hero. So that's the setup. And then there's a lot of self-referential stuff. We got a clip here. So Chris Pratt plays the everyman hero, right, of the Lego movies. Now he meets his alter ego, who's actually based on all the Chris Pratt real life movie characters he's played, because he's like the dinosaur wrangler and he's the guardian of the galaxy. So here's regular guy Chris Pratt meeting superhero Chris Pratt. They're both Legos.
Who are you?
The name's Rex. Rex Danger Vest. Galaxy defending archaeologist. Cowboy. Raptor trainer. Who likes building furniture. Buzzing heads. And having chiseled features previously hidden under baby fat.
Whoa.
Enemy ship.
That's a negative. That bad boy is my ship. Built it myself out of spare pieces. Let me show you around.
Hey, you broke my ship.
Listen, kid, you can build anything, but there ain't nothing you can't break. I don't get it.
So I like the back and forth there. So I'm giving 3 stars to Lego Movie 2 because it's a little bit repetitive from the first one. It's hard to be that clever another time around. But man, I'd say 70% of the jokes are for the adults in the crowd. 30% are for the kids. But the kids will love it because it always just looks great and stuff, you know. And yeah, things break, and it's Lego world.
And it's still candy colored.
Yeah, beautiful looking animation. Then they go up to the real world. Maya Rudolph and Will Ferrell are the parents in the real world. And like, you know, they have the great little moments, like when she comes in to tell the kids to play nicely. Of course, she's going to step on one of those dang Legos. And, you know, that's the most painful thing. Every parent in the world has felt that, right? In the middle of the night, you get up to pee. What do you step on? A Lego.
And the Barbie stiletto.
And the
there's nothing worse than the Barbie stiletto.
Ooh, wow.
She can't stand up in the Barbie stiletto, so you can't get her to stand up. And then, which I think there's some reality to that. And then it gets lost. It gets into the carpeting. And the next thing you know, you're walking around in your living room and it's over.
Yeah.
You've got that between your toes. There's every parent knows what that feels like.
There's a lot of fun with that. And yes, there is a Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg Lego figure in this movie.
Okay, now she is having her biggest Hollywood moment, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, superhero. Is she not?
She's a superhero, right?
She's up for an Oscar.
Yeah, the documentary is up for best documentary, obviously. And she's even in the Lego Movie too.
All right. We're gonna play.
So there you go.
All right, so 3 stars for that. 3.5 stars for the Liam Neeson movie, despite the fact that he's basically barfed on his own publicity for it.
Yes. So you'll not see anybody else probably promoting the movie. And those are the two. Oh, and then later this week, I'll come in and we'll talk about What Men Want. That's the Taraji P. Henson remake of What Women Want, starring Mel Gibson. Remember that one? Speaking of guys who've had their moments.
Right.
There you have it.
I can't wait to hear about that. All right. Graham Elliott is going to play News or Ruse. You want to play News or Ruse? Get ready for it. 312-917-2200. And all that comes your way after Kim Gordon's news in 2 minutes.